Good evening. Welcome to Politica Podcast. Tonight we have Rochelle Morris running for County Council.
Salt Lake County Council.
Yeah, and yes. So the Salt Lake County Council, you're in the at-large seat, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about you. I always like to start by kind of getting some background on people, especially people that are kind of new to politics and stuff. So why don't you tell our audience a little bit about you?
Yeah, well, I would love to. And thanks for having me on the show. I'm a descendant of Utah pioneers on both sides of my family. My parents met, married in Utah, moved to Texas, and ended up raising 7 Texans.
So oh, wow.
I'm the second of 7 children.
So what part of Texas?
I grew up in Houston.
In Houston, okay. So I went to school at Texas A&M, so not far from where you are. Yeah.
Yeagum.
Yeah.
Where's the ring?
Yeah. Well, my fingers are small, so I couldn't even bend my finger if I put it on. Oh. So, yeah, but...
Undergrad or grad
school? No, grad school. So I got a PhD in economics there, so...
Okay, and then came up here.
Yeah.
And,
okay. So you... Did you go to school in Texas then?
No. Well, so growing up, money was tight in our home. My brothers and I, we were all on the reduced lunch program. My parents worked really hard. And just like so many everyday Utahns, just trying to make ends meet. And when I was going into the 6th grade, my mom did what I think is now one of the most courageous things a mother could do when money's tight. Is she looked at my brothers and me and she decided we were old enough to be able to solve the lunch problem for ourselves. So she took us off the program and told us you can make PB&J or you can figure out a way to make money to pay for lunch going forward, but we're not going to have the government do it for us
anymore. Oh, interesting.
And so she taught piano in the morning, so she wasn't going to be making our lunch for us. Like, we actually did have to solve for it. And
did you grow up playing the piano?
No.
Oh.
No, because she was teaching piano inside the house, so my brothers and I all played sports outside.
Oh.
Right? So I played every sport known to man and played high school basketball while I was also working 20, 30 hours a week after school. And by the time I was 18, I was financially independent.
And, you were?
Yeah. And so I got a full ride scholarship to BYU, became the first woman on my mom's side of the family to get a college degree, and studied information systems.
Oh, you studied information systems. Okay.
Yes.
That's cool. Yeah. So I was a professor at Utah State in information systems, basically.
Wait.
Yeah.
How have we not had this conversation?
Yeah. So that's interesting.
What did you teach?
Data analytics. So my PhD is in economics, but I... You know, we actually built an AI company and I left academia. But, you know, when I retired and moved back to Utah, I went back to teaching in information systems again.
Okay. What years were you?
So I started there about 2008, around there. So.
Okay. I graduated in 2007.
Oh, did you?
So I did Java, SQL.
That's cool.
Yes, HTML.
And so when you left there, where'd you go from BYU?
Well, a little bank called Goldman Sachs recruited me.
A little bank, yeah.
Yes. And so I joined Goldman first for an internship in between my junior...
So was this after they'd already come to Salt Lake?
This was Salt Lake, yes.
Okay.
So while all of my friends at BYU were moving to San Francisco and New York to start their careers, I moved to a little city called Salt Lake City.
Oh, very cool.
And started my career with Goldman there and ended up working in private wealth management for Goldman Sachs for 12 years, including in the financial crisis.
Wow.
So experienced that roller coaster ride of being at a market high in the year 2000 and then going through the PR crisis as well.
Well,
learned a lot.
2008 about sunk our company when, you know, when our largest client, Washington Mutual, went out of business. Because of that.
Yeah. JP Morgan bought those assets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting what's been going on. So wealth management then, how did you go from Salt Lake to Texas? Because I know you were in the group in Texas.
Yeah. Well, I really wanted to move into a client-facing role at Goldman. And at the time, Salt Lake City was all kind of back office operational functions. So I networked my way into the Dallas office and kind of begged and asked them to give me a job. And
interesting.
And so,
so you had experience at Goldman, but you were on the back office stuff. You were building the systems that they were using.
Yes, exactly. I was building the mutual fund trading platform.
Oh, very cool.
That then the private wealth management offices were using all over the country. And I had options between the New York office, the San Francisco office, the Dallas office, and the Chicago office. And I wanted to move to the red state.
Oh, that's cool.
So I
back to Texas, to
so
Dallas.
I moved back to Texas.
So my understanding, what isn't Ted Cruz's wife part of that group?
So
it was she in that office?
Yes.
Okay.
So she was in the Houston office.
Oh, she
led the Houston office.
Okay.
But Ted Cruz, yeah, when he launched his Senate campaign, my brother had taken a law school class from him. So my brother emailed the whole family the day that Ted launched his Senate campaign. And there was another candidate who was a big Goldman client in the Dallas office, Heidi running the Houston office. And my brother sends an email to the whole family saying, we're supporting Ted Cruz. I loved his class in law school, brilliant legal mind. He would be excellent in the Senate. And so my whole family, we knocked doors and did phone calls and things like that for Senator Cruz, you know, back 12 years
well,
ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, so you have some conservative credentials there with Ted Cruz, right?
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. No, I'm a lifelong conservative Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So did you ever run into Ted Cruz and wife and stuff?
Yeah. No. So then I moved from Dallas to Houston in 2014. So I got to work with Heidi, got to meet the senator several times. And in my time at Goldman, you know, Goldman is a large corporation that encourages civic engagement and helps from analysts to associates to VPs to managing directors all appreciate this idea that that the capital markets exist in the private sector, in the public sector, in the nonprofit sector. So lean into the community, be a community builder, get engaged. You know, the bank didn't tell us what we should think politically. And maybe part of that was because I was living in Texas. And so most of our clients were Republicans. You know, we were supporting oil and gas families primarily. Like it was, it's a conservative state, right? But that's where I started really getting involved in investing in the community, like my own sweat equity in building up Dallas and building up Houston, and now here Salt Lake City.
So how did you migrate then to back to Salt Lake City?
Yeah, so another little bank called JP Morgan called me in the summer of 2018 and recruited me to move to Utah to launch a JP Morgan office in Salt Lake the beginning of 2019.
So was that also in wealth management then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
So we opened a private bank. I was with the firm for a few years.
Right.
And now I'm a venture capitalist. So I co-founded and launched a venture fund called Rev Road Capital 2 years ago. And in that process,
and weren't you one of the ones that really raised the money for them? Was that your role there?
That was one of my primary functions, and still is. We have an incredible group of investors who, a lot of Utah entrepreneurs who wanted to invest in the next generation of Utah entrepreneurs.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll come right back. Then we'll talk about your raise. Hey Siri, how do I get to the state capitol?
John, the fastest way to get to the capitol is to make a lot of empty promises, to get help from special interest groups and endorsements from politicians. You will also need to buy a better suit.
That's not going to work for me, Siri. You need to find another way.
John, listen to me. If you're going to win your race, you will need to play the political game. You also need to use more hairspray and buy a golden retriever. Also, a new phone case would be nice.
That's enough of this.
John, are you there? Did you just leave me on the road? Fine. Keep your principles, John.
My name's John Johnson. I'm not running to be part of a system, and I don't owe anyone special favors. I'm running to listen to and work for you. I'm running to get results.
Welcome
Welcome back to Politicket. We've got Rochelle Morris here, and she's running for the at-large county council seat in Salt Lake. So, you know, we were just talking about your background, and, you know, we kind of want to shift gears a little bit into your campaign. What motivated you to get started in this? I mean,
yeah, well, here's a little secret that most venture capitalists don't want the world to know, which is we raise other people's money and we invest in other people's companies. And so after spending 16 years waking up every day and needing to get to an office by the time the markets open and working crazy long hours, as a VC, it's different. You know, we're always on the prowl looking for a good deal to invest in, but I don't have to be anywhere at 8 a.m. anymore. And so I had been investing a lot in just the local community, serving on nonprofit boards and getting involved with local election dynamics inside the Republican Party. And Representative Lisenby gave me a phone call in November.
Oh, she did.
And she brought up this race and another race. And she said, Rochelle, I really think you should run. I think you are the candidate who could win. Our party needs you, your county needs you, and the state needs you.
Oh, Carrie Ann's one of my favorites.
Yeah, and you can't say no to Carrie Ann once she decides something. So anyways, I looked at the seat, and this seat has been held by a Democrat, Jim Bradley, for 24 years since the council was formed.
Wow.
He's retiring, and this is the largest open seat race in the state of Utah that the Democrats are defending this year. So it's 1.5 times the size of a congressional race. And when we look at Salt Lake County-wide races from 2 years ago in 2022, I hate to say this, but we as Republicans, we failed miserably in those races. We lost every single countywide race by at least 10 points, including the at-large race that happened 2 years ago and when Suzanne Harrison beat the incumbent Richard Snellgrove. And so I was approaching this race with three things that I needed to check off. One, would I be willing to outwork every candidate in this race? Two, would I be willing to out-fundraise? And did I believe I could out-fundraise every candidate in this race? And three, would I be committed to getting to know the six districts of Salt Lake County better than any candidate in this race? And when I looked at the potential candidates lining up on both sides of the aisle, I said, yeah, I can do this. And so I threw my hat in the ring.
Well, yeah, I've read a few reports, an article that I read where you were being criticized because you raised so much more money than your opponent. And I thought, well, in order to win that race, that's exactly what you have to do, right?
Oh, absolutely. We have to do radio ads. We have to do billboards. You know,
that's a big race.
Over 500,000 ballots in November will be cast in this race alone. It is larger than a congressional race for a part-time county council role, where essentially I needed to decide if I had the capacity, the willingness, and the endurance to give my Tuesdays to the county for the next 6 years,
right.
which I do, given what I'm doing in the private sector now.
So what?
What does the council do?
Yeah, I mean, what do you see with the council that you're uniquely qualified to do? That's more.
Yeah, well, so the council is the legislative body at the county level. Obviously, the state of Utah has the largest budget in the state, and then Salt Lake County has the second largest budget. And so it's a mayor council form of government, which is unique in the state of Utah. And there's 9 members of the council. The council number one job and responsibility is overseeing the purse strings of what is now a $1.9 billion annual budget. And there's lots of great folks on the council, many different talents and career backgrounds, but no one is a professional investor who's currently on the council. I know I would add value on day one.
Just understanding that piece of
just understanding how to trace money flow and being able to read financial statements quickly, being able to read financial models quickly. And, you know, whenever a program manager is pitching, you know, hey, I need $1 million to be able to facilitate this thing, they always show some sort of a financial model that usually has a nice hockey right. curve right. to it. And if we do this,
then
you know,
this is going to happen.
And right. this is going to happen over the next 5 years. Well, this is what I do every day at RevRoad Capital. You know, right. entrepreneurs come in, they pitch, there's a financial model that creates a hockey stick projection. And my job as a partner at RevRoad Capital is to say, do I agree with the assumptions that this entrepreneur is making into their financial model? Yes or no, right? I'm going to bring that same skill set and that same kind of structured thinking to the county council of do I agree with the assumptions that this program officer is making for their model? Number one. Two, if I do, let's continue the conversation. If I don't, challenge. Right. Challenge the thesis.
Right. So what kinds of things can you do in the county, you know, and what's your philosophy behind those? Because, you know, I'm a big believer in the proper role of government, right? Where should government be and where should they get out of the way?
Yeah, when the Mayor Council form of government was created 24 years ago, there were hundreds of thousands of unincorporated Salt Lake County residents where the county was the lowest level of government servicing those folks. Well, today, that number is less than 11,000 people. So what you would have expected is that the county government would have decreased in size over time, and yet it's magically increased over time. And quite frankly, I want to be able to audit what's going on inside the county. Here's my innovative idea coming from the private sector. I always like to apply benchmarks, and so I look and I've studied what does the state of Utah do. Well, the state of Utah, the governor's office has a budget team. They make a budget proposal every year in the month of December, as you know,
right.
press conference, the whole shebang. And what do you do with that budget proposal as a senator?
Well, what I do is I look at it and say, yeah, good luck with that. But
right, because the legislature has your own fiscal team, your own budget team
right.
that can build the state budget from scratch. Guess what the Salt Lake County is set up as? All of the budget experts reside in the county mayor's office. We have a conflict of interest on the individuals who know the county budget better than anyone else. It's because they technically report to the executive branch, but the council is the legislative branch and is supposed to be managing the purse strings. They have limited visibility today. So what I want to do is I want to trim some of the county mayor's office budget and add a couple budget experts to the council. I think in a 2 year period of time, if we're operating, firing on all cylinders, the council will finally be able to build the county budget from scratch. We're gonna find all sorts of leaks across that $1.9 billion budget.
Right.
We're gonna start turning off those leaks because that's not fair to taxpayers to be double taxed because they're paying taxes into the city for services now, and they're also paying.
And a lot of those services really in Salt Lake County are really provided by the cities, right?
Yes, yeah. Trash and, you know, the streets are mostly maintained by cities now, and, you know, the lights, street lights, things like that, right? The county, when you think of proper role of government, the county level, you know, we have a county jail. We have a county health department. We
county
have
county sheriff.
Yes, and county clerk with the elections. Like those, that makes sense to be at a county level, not a city level. But there's lots of things that the Salt Lake County government is still involved in that I think it will require some backbone and strength to say, let's start sunsetting some of those things and help the Salt Lake County employees who are working in those departments find soft landings in other places over the next few years.
Very good. So we're out of time. It went pretty fast. But why don't you just look in that camera and make a pitch to people? Why should they vote for Rochelle?
Yeah, I'm a collaborative woman. I'm a competent private investor, a private sector executive, and I'm a lifelong conservative. And so when we look at the Salt Lake County election dynamics and demographics, Salt Lake County has been drifting blue. I'm literally running to be a conservative Republican backbone inside of our county government. I do genuinely believe that Salt Lake County can be the best metropolitan area in the Western United States, and it's going to happen with conservative governance.
Very good. Thank you, Rochelle Morris.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Nice to have you. And we'll see you guys next week.